What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to Marriage Mondays here on the 2 Feet on the Ground Gravity Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Chris.
And I'm your other host, Jamie. And today we're going to be talking about the challenges of a cop marriage.
Whoa, stop. Are you saying it's challenging to be married to me?
I said what I said.
Okay, I guess. I don't know, Jamie. What do you think? Do we give us a shot?
Absolutely. Here we go. So as we were brainstorming this topic, we threw around several things that we thought we could speak to in challenges of being married to a cop.
Now, here's the reality, folks. Being married is tough. Life is tough. We go through challenges, and relationships take a lot of work. So some of these things, if you're listening and your spouse and you, neither one of you are in law enforcement, you may still relate to them, but Jamie and I definitely feel these, we've known these to be present in our marriage, and a lot of them we feel are the result of me being a police officer.
Yeah, one of the first things we wanted to talk about was what it was like, what it is like, you know, in the times when it happens, to have a spouse in shift work.
Yeah, and again, that's not one that's unique. We have friends that aren't cops that work shift work, but that's definitely been our experience with me being a law enforcement officer and on shift work, off shift work, and the different things. Well, first of all, just being on shift work sucks. It's not normal hours, right? Like, I mean, there were times that, like, when I worked like a swing shift, that I feel like our family kind of adjusted.
Yeah, we would stay up a little bit later so that on your days off, we could have a little more time and try and flex the family in that way.
So that was easier. But when I was working night shift, that you're just not going to do that. You're not going to keep up everyone till 6 a.m. CPS might get called when they show up to school with no sleep. So we did different things to try to mitigate it. And one of the things was, I mean, we've shared this before, I think. We invested in blackout blinds in our room. Jamie's always been really good about trying to keep the kids quiet or take them out of the house, like during the summer, so that I could get better rest. But the reality is sleep just isn't as good when you're on shift work.
Right. And as the spouse that didn't do shift work, like, it was a different perspective for me. Like he said, I'm keeping kids quiet, tiptoeing all day, saving the loud events for when he's out of the house, like laundry or banging around pots and pans for dishes or whatever it is, trying to strategically plan my day so that I'm keeping the noise down as much as possible and allowing him to get the great sleep.
One thing I'll say about shift work, if you're the Leo or you're the first responder and you're working shift work, we have to be stingy about our sleep. Now, there's times that you're going to get 3 or 4 hours of sleep and you're going to get up because you don't want to miss your kid's event. Love it. You can do anything for a day. What you can't do is make it to where you get 4 hours of sleep all the time, because that's going to aggregate on the stress that you're experiencing, the other challenges we're going to be talking about here. It's sleep health is very important, and so we have to be stingy. We have to be disciplined in getting great sleep as often as possible. And then when we have those one-offs, when we're not going to get great sleep to see a kid's event or to do some other activity, we can sit there and carry through that.
What was the second thing that we wanted to bring up as one of the challenges?
Yeah, and we've shared this a lot on here, just the roller coaster. Dr. Kevin Gilmartin talks about it in his book, Emotional Survival for Law Enforcement. He talks about the hypervigilant roller coaster and that for every action, there's an opposite and equal reaction. So when police officers go on duty, they are hypervigilant. They're paying attention to what's going on in their surroundings, more so than the average citizen. But that comes at a cost. When they go off duty, they dip down below almost into a state of apathy. And it's something I saw my dad when he was a police officer. He wasn't absent. He was a good dad, but he would just tune out. He would sit in his chair and tune out watching TV, and I could hardly get him to kind of break out of the trance. And so that's something we've experienced. Not the trance so much for me, but me being in that hypervigilant state, that stimulated amygdala to where I'm losing my cool on the kids, on Jamie, in inappropriate ways, yelling over stupid things, and it makes family life tough.
So I'll let him speak to how he would mitigate the challenge as the LEO. But for me, as the spouse of the LEO, things like self-care are important. And it could be something small like a bath by myself or a trip to the restroom. Again, by myself. But really just carving a little bit of self-care time out. Or maybe I'm going to get my nails done. Or maybe I just need some time. I remember we weren't in conflict or trial or anything, but one year Chris asked me what I wanted for Christmas. And I said, I want to go out to dinner by myself a few times. And he got me a gift card to Olive Garden. And I don't know if you remember this, but I went by myself. I think I went twice. Why are you laughing at this?
I love it that you needed that, but it's just like, you know, hey, you have friends and family. What do you want to do? I want to be alone.
See, so, okay, as the mother who I, you know, it's Mother's Day today, the day that we're recording this, and it's the single greatest thing I've ever done, right? When we had little itty bitty kids, it was very purposeful for me. I knew that this is what I was supposed to be doing right now. Never questioned it. In the same respect, though, I was hung on all day, nursed on all day, loved on all day, needed attention from, you know, I was always there. And so the gift of time and space, it truly was a gift. And I know a lot of people are uncomfortable eating by themselves. I was perfectly fine. And I'm pretty sure I got the same thing both times I went, and I loved it. So it was a real treat for me to be able to care for myself in that way.
And I like that awareness, figuring out what you need in this season and then doubling down on that, communicating with your spouse saying, hey, this is what I want, instead of you just telling me you want something that you think I want. For me, trying to mitigate the roller coaster, it was a bunch of different things. One, Jamie held me accountable, but she also gave me grace in experiencing this. And so that was helpful for me. And then in a similar note to what she said, being smart about taking care of myself, being smart about managing stress, setting up boundaries, telling people no, trying to simplify life a little bit, getting good exercise, good sleep, good nutrition, good hydration, all of those things have played a role into that hypervigilant roller coaster not having as big of an impact on me as it would otherwise, but it still has an impact. I still feel it. And then I know I need to double down on taking care of myself. Jane, I like this next one because I feel like it is more for you. I might chime in a little bit, but what was the third challenge for cop marriages?
Danger. My LEO being in danger. And we have spoke on this before, but for me, this really has not been a huge fear. And it's completely attributed to faith. Early on, I've said it before, but early on, God taught me that your well-being was not in my control. You deployed all over the world. And I couldn't be a part of any of that. So I knew early on that God had you, and if for some horrible reason you were taken from me, that he would walk with me through that. So any amount of danger you've been in, are in, will be in, it's not a fearful thing for me.
Yeah. And I've always had that peace that if something bad happens to me, one, my brothers and sisters on the street that I'm serving with are going to step up and take care of it and hopefully get me to safety and to care. And two, I've had the same faith that if I'm taken young, that Jamie's going to have the support and that God's going to walk with her through that. So hasn't been a huge weighty thing for us, but I think that is a real challenge for law enforcement families. Number four.
Chris brought up politics, and at first I was like, what do you mean? And then I flash back to the last 3 years where our law enforcement went from hero to hated in a blink of an eye, along with several other professions. I'm not trying to say others didn't, but that's exactly it. right there, the politics that were happening nationally. So what I did to mitigate that was I muted things I didn't want to see. I made it a point not to read things I didn't want to hear because the noise was really loud. And I found that some people chose to be really loud with it. And for my own well-being, I had to unfriend or mute them because I didn't want to hear it or see it. And I didn't agree with it. So that was a protective measure for myself, having you as the LEO and my spouse. I just had to put up some boundaries about what I was seeing and reading and hearing.
Here's the crazy thing. The politics were a lot harder for me than the physical dangers. I rarely am consumed by the fact that I have to wear a bulletproof vest and carry a gun on my hip. Like that doesn't nag at my mind. That's just part of the job. And I know it's dangerous, but somebody has to step into that. It's the politics that's hard for me. It's people screaming and yelling and shouting and communicating hate towards me and the people I serve with based on a uniform that I choose to wear. That's the hard stuff. I remember doing a birthday drive-by in the middle of COVID, right? And I didn't always love doing these, meaning, I mean, I liked it. It was positive, but sometimes it got busy. Sometimes it was like, man, we got all these other like police functions to do. And then we're going to try to fit in these three birthday drive-bys today. But we would do it if we could. And I remember getting done with one and I pulled to the end of the block and I see a house and it was my grandparents' house, the house that I would go over to as a kid. And that was in my mind, oh, my grandparents' house. There was a woman standing in her bathrobe on the porch and she asked me what we were up to. And I hollered at her. I said, well, there was a kid's birthday. It was a 4-year-old's birthday and we were just doing a birthday drive-by. And she started screaming and cussing at me about all kinds of the major events that have been taking place about that same time and how we aren't doing our job. And I'm like going, wow, we're just trying to put a smile on a 4-year-old's face. And so that's the crazy thing is it's not the people with guns that create this burden on me. It's the politics. Now we live in a community here in Eastern Washington that is extremely supportive.
Very supportive. All different facets, constantly praising and showing respect to our law enforcement officers, bringing food, writing cards, really just wanting to know how can we love on you, I feel like.
Yeah. And I accept that we have to earn that, right? And if we stop acting with character and providing great police service, then we're going to lose that trust. But we have it, and people are great about communicating it. But yeah, the politics of the last couple of years. So I love some of the takeaways. I guess I'm staying in this spot of what it was like for me. What do I do about it? This got back into me having to exercise gratitude, me having to focus on what I was thankful for, because once I did that and I recognized one of the things I'm thankful for is a very appreciative Tri-City community, it helps me reframe the whole conversation that I'm seeing on social media or on the news that everyone hates the cops. And I'm realizing, no, that's not true. Where I live and serve, actually the majority are extremely supportive of us. And I think across the nation, there's a lot of support, at least when I read the different surveys they take and whatnot, or they put out. So that's what I do. I exercise gratitude. Like Jamie, I try to starve my brain of the things that I don't need to see. However, I don't go to the same measures she does. She will mute people on social media. I usually don't.
I'm shameless. Unless we actually have a connection, no offense world, but we're probably not going to be, quote, friends on social media because I like to share pictures of my family and whatnot. And if I don't actually know you in person, you're not going to get to see that. So that's just my boundary for what I'm cool with.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to hear other views. I do want to hear other views. I don't want to hear constant hatred that's unmerited, but, or that's out of proportion, but I want to hear the other side of the story because I think it gives me perspective in life. So that's some of what we do, folks. Hopefully that's helpful. We have one more that I deleted, so I don't even know what it is.
Oh my gosh. Our last one we were going to talk about is trust.
Yes.
As an LEO marriage, trust is interesting, and there's so many different places that I have to evaluate if people have my trust. So, example, I'm in a circle of people that I don't know very well. We're talking about what our spouse does for a living. If I feel comfortable, I will say he's a law enforcement officer. Or if I don't, it's he works for the city. And usually that satisfies people and they don't ask further, well, what does he do for the city? He cleans the streets. I could go there if I'm still uncomfortable, but I don't have a problem not telling people. It's not something I just offer up. Also, because I don't know if how you feel, you know, if you're a stranger, I don't know how you feel about the law enforcement community or if you've had a bad interaction specifically with my husband. I don't want to open that door. So,
and on Saturday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon at some city park, I don't want to have that conversation with you right now is kind of the feel, right?
Right.
Yeah. And I'm the same way. I'm very proud of my job, both my military service, being a police officer. But there's times I just don't want to get into that. I mean, like, if you like the police, then absolutely, I'm a police officer and, you know, we can have a short conversation about it. But there's, I don't want to get into the debate or hear about the last time you got stopped by the police and you didn't like the way it went. I mean, if you're a friend of mine, then yes, tell me those things and I can hopefully mitigate it. But if I don't know you, like, I don't want to get into that conversation.
And I feel like you do a good job to set up times when it is okay to have those types of conversations. But yeah, like the scenario you just gave, I'm with my family on the weekend at a park, not when I want to do it. I do see you making time to have those conversations. Oh,
absolutely. In my profession, I want to hear those conversations. And in fact, I do that at community events. And I genuinely enjoy listening there. But when I'm with my family, I don't want to have to do that same thing, right? I just want to be, because this is the struggle with that. That's not a totally safe conversation that I walk into. I want to have them because I think having conversation and understanding each other and demonstrating empathy gives us greater perspective and builds relationship. But again, at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon when the kids are playing on the toys, that's not when I want to do that. Like, I just want to relax and enjoy my family right now. One of our friends, Dr. Shauna Springer, wrote a book called Warrior, and she talks about this, how within the military and first responder career fields, there really is this tribe mentality, and you're either in the tribe or you're not. And it's hard to get in. You have to be trustworthy, but once you're in the tribe. And that's what I was thinking about when you were talking about that, is just the fact that being in a law enforcement marriage, one of the challenges is, does it feel safe? Does these people that we're having a conversation with, does this couple at the supermarket, we're at some children's event at the school, and is this other couple safe? Not like, are they going to do something dangerous, but are they safe in that, can I trust them, or do I need to put up a barrier?
In the same vein of trust, I mean, there's been times we've been in public places, and Chris will say, get lost. And I take the kid's hand and we walk a different way. And so in those moments, I know that someone or something is going on and I need to get away from it. And so I'm going to take the kids and go somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. I can think of some very specific times that she needed to beat feet. That was our fault for shopping at Walmart. Hey, Walmart, we love you. I'm not saying anything negative about you. You have good prices.
But I'm for sure packing if I go there. All right. So the call to action today is, as you navigate the challenges of an LEO marriage, stay close, stay committed, stay the course. Thank you for joining us today on this episode of Marriage Mondays.
We want to hear from you. How are we doing here on the podcast, folks? There's a few different ways for you to communicate back to us. First and foremost, please follow us on whatever podcast platform you're consuming this on. That will cause the next episode to come up. You can also rate and review us if you're listening on Apple or Spotify. There's 5 stars waiting on our main page. We'd really appreciate a 5-star rating if we've earned all 5 of those stars, folks. If we haven't, keep your stars. Shoot us an email instead at chris@gravityct.com. Let us know how to make it better. Future Marriage Monday topics or guests for me to interview.
Remember, friends, getting married is easy. Staying married is real tough. So go and love well.